Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
See, last time JR was here, you didn't have a podcast theme song.
Oh,
so
are you kidding?
Doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, that was new.
That's
oh,
new.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
Oh, I think we actually had Patrick write it on the episode after your appearance.
Yeah.
Because didn't we talk about you guys need a theme song for that?
Yep.
During
yes.
the podcast?
We made one.
Yes.
Isn't it fantastic?
Wow.
It's a really, really entertaining podcast because we did the whole podcast where he wrote the song as the podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
I think it's a week after your
Number
previous
six.
Appearance.
Not that I know that by heart. But
hey, real quick before we dive into everything, the podcast is sponsored by Sam's Club. At Sam's Club, you always get incredible savings and a lot of exercise because the place is big. Sam's Club, you get incredible savings, especially during the holidays. Obviously, you can find the perfect gift for every single person on your list at Sam's Club.
Hey, I want to introduce our guest today, J.R. Schumann. He's a radio friend of ours. He lives in Dallas.
He can't just be a regular friend. He has to be a radio friend.
Nah, he is a regular. Actually, you know what? I do differentiate, though. He is a regular friend. We have friends who do radio, but yeah. We don't have many radio friends. Oh, that makes sense.
No, it makes sense. I will say this in true radio fashion, because when I was here last time, it was what, like 9 months ago?
You were still in Orlando.
Right. So in true radio fashion, in the 9 months since I was here last, I have a different job and I live in a new city.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
I never moved around much in radio. I got someplace and I stayed there for a long time.
You've always been the picture of stability, though. I mean, you were the stability whenever we first started the show. If it wouldn't have been you being there, if it had been somebody like Patrick sitting across from me.
What's that?
But dude, come on.
I've had this job for 15 years.
Right, how many nights a week are you out in the bars?
Wait,
nights a week are you out in the bars?
Oh, quite a bit, but when I still show up on time.
When we first started doing this show, showing up at 2:30 in the morning the previous night to sleep on the sofa.
That counts. That's called being responsible.
It does actually count.
Yes, there you go.
But you know, when we first started this, I mean, I was single. I was still hard partying. I was out at night. I would show up at work, and I was a mess. And I, you know, Big D finally was like, dude, you know, you can't live both lives. You have to, if you're going to do morning radio, you have to conform to this world where you go to bed at 9:30 at night.
I always tell people, I think it was Jeff and Jerry, the guys out of San Diego.
Oh, God,
just
man.
Classic.
That's a great old name.
Yeah, those are great guys. They, I remember I was talking to them and they said, you know, the best show prep you can ever do is to be in bed by 9. That is the best show prep you'll ever do. And I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. Because it changes the way you think. Your mind is sharper. It's firing faster. You're just better. It's not about, getting in and show prepping and, you know, what's online and what's going on in the world and who said what and all this stuff.
Just being able to think.
Just being able to think faster. It's better and clearer.
I just moved to afternoons. That's what I did.
And you think super fast and clear now, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah, afternoons is that's a whole nother thing, man. It's a whole nother.
What time do you, but see, you're programming the radio station, which means you're like the radio station boss.
Yeah.
So when you show up, you actually get there probably, what, 9, 10 in the morning?
If not before. I'm typically there by 8:30. So yeah, so.
And then you're there until about 7?
7:30, 8 o'clock at night.
That's crazy,
man. Horrible life.
That's crazy.
Thanks.
That sucks.
Man, it sucks to be you, wow. Bro.
I was feeling pretty good about it until this
just
moment.
Now.
Wow.
I remember when I used to do afternoons because whenever Big D and I met, I was doing afternoons for the station that we were on at the time. And I would show up. My show started at 3. I would show up at about 3:01. The song, you know, would the top of the hour ID, blah, 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 blah.
Remember calling a guy going, hey, can you add a song?
Yeah, I would do that all the time. Hey, put a song in. Yeah. I'll be there in a minute.
One of the longer ones.
So yeah. I would show up and I would literally, it was 3:01. I would show up and whenever it was done, I would do my commercials during the show. Like during the commercial breaks, I would go into the little production room where we had to do our daily commercials. schedules, and I'd knock all that out. That way at 7:01, 6:59, who am I kidding, 6:59 p.m., I was out the door. So I literally worked 4 hours a day. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, that is...
That was a good life.
But you did what you need. You did your job. You did it all, and, you know...
Yeah, I'm sure it was sloppy, though.
Cut it close.
No.
Nah.
That was probably the best work you've ever done, right?
Yeah, I remember, hey, a friend of mine, I will not say his name because of the story, but he had just started in radio, and he was... haven't I told you all this, where he's talking dirty to this girl on the phone?
Oh,
yeah, he's playing. Heard. He was doing he was running a countdown. It was like a Rick Dees countdown back in the day, and just running, playing the record. It, you know, they would send the entire show on a record, and you would just start it, and it would have like 15-minute blocks of just the countdown, and then it would cut away, and you had to play local commercials, and then cue the record back up for another 15 minutes. Well, for like 15 minutes, he would talk on the phone, and he had the phone up to his ear like this, and he's got his elbow on the table. And he's just kind of talking, and he said, I don't know how dirty it was, but it was pretty bad. And he's got the microphone right in front of his face. And the phone's ringing, other lines. He's ignoring them, you know. Finally, he sees...
He should. He had some hottie on the
phone. That's right.
He
said,
there's a line, the hotline, he goes, the hotline kept ringing. So finally, I said, hey, hang on a second.
The hotline's ignoring always the boss. Yeah.
Right. So he picks it up. He goes, hey, what's up? He goes, hey, you want to tell her that you're going to have to go and hang up on her? He's like, yeah. He had the microphone on the entire time.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Whoops.
Yeah, and leaning right into it.
Oh,
so
wow.
All anyone heard was like his side of it.
Oh, yeah? Well, meanwhile, let me tell you something, baby. Yeah.
Meanwhile, that was the highest ratings that game had ever seen.
Yeah, you know, people were calling
it a countdown or whatever it was. Yeah.
Put it on right now. Listen, it's great.
Is that right? You are. Yes, I am.
Is this Jake from State Farm?
He sounds hideous. So you're liking Dallas?
I am. It's been an interesting ride. Last week, Terry Dorsey announced his retirement, which Terry Dorsey's been doing morning radio in Dallas for 34 years, 26 of them at KSCS, where I'm at. And so now I've been there 8 months. Now I have to replace.
Did you know that it was coming down?
No. In fact, he told me last Friday, walked in my office. I thought something was weird because he asked for a meeting with me, which I can't get him to show up to my meetings at all. Like, He has more doctor's appointments than anybody I've ever known in my life. So he asked for a meeting and walks in my office and goes, hey, pal, I'm going to retire. And so I'm like, oh.
That's how he did it? That's the way?
And I was like, oh, that's cool, you know.
Well, is this going to be last year?
Right. And I said, so like 20, end of next year, like 6 months from now? He goes, week from Wednesday, pal.
Wow.
That's so classic.
Yeah.
Did he call you pal because he doesn't know your name? Because that makes the story better for me.
You know what's funny?
I'm not going to lie to you. If you're the manager of the station and he doesn't know your name, that's just perfect.
It's so funny that you say that because that's a bit that they do on the morning show with him. It's Terry, what's my name? And they'll bring cart people, salespeople through and whatever.
That's so great.
Why did you do that with you guys? That's yeah. So
but, dude, we should do, well, we didn't do it on the air, but that's
but,
great.
But no, he did know my name. But caveat to that is on Monday in the studio, it's the beginning of his announcement or whatever. Or no, I guess it was the morning of his retirement announcement, Tuesday morning. And after the show, he comes up to me and goes, hey, would you mind putting your cell phone number into my phone? And I'm like, I've ultimately been your boss for almost a year. He didn't have my phone number saved, and handed me just the phone
because he didn't. Know he how
didn't
to do
know.
It.
Like he didn't know. Like I guess he knew JR. Almost 70. So
he's really that old? I thought he was younger than that.
He looks older. No. He looks younger. He never updates the pictures, the press pictures.
You know, it's funny. The Dallas Morning News, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, they all ran stories, and the photos in those stories have to be 15 or 20 years old.
Yeah.
Have to be.
We worked with a guy like that one time.
Yeah, we worked with a guy who was using pictures from 20 years before.
They were from like 1993 was the last picture. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. He did.
Oh. He knows they're old. Not like it was Jerry House. He used old pictures.
Know,
I'm sorry.
Here's what happened.
He wasn't the one who was doing that.
He didn't do it. Because I know for a fact that there are still people who use the picture of you we took in 2001.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We always go, why did they use that old picture? Because that's just the one they have on file.
It's one they saved.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
It's on their desktop. They just click and drag over.
So they can look at it every time. It's the background.
It's the background.
Hey, pal.
But yeah, so he asked me to put my phone number in his phone.
That's cool, pal.
So
it's a big moment for me.
You should play a game. You should play a game on your show called "How Long Will It Take for Terry to Realize He Has a Text Message?" All right, I'm texting now. The clock begins. For every hour, we donate $10 to the local Dallas charity of his choice. That's great, man. Well, good for him. Yeah, he's done it a long time.
It is. It's it's good to see. It's good to see a guy be able to make that call himself. You know what I mean?
You know what I like? I like the fact that you're in here today, which means rumors are going to start.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, the last time I was in here, shortly thereafter, I changed jobs.
Yeah.
So here we are again.
That's right.
That's not going to happen, by the way.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
You're not changing
There's
jobs?
Nothing, well, no discussions going on of any kind.
Last time I saw you, you were in here. Well, Eddie was in here. Eddie Haskell.
Yeah.
And he changed jobs since then, didn't he?
No, he had just started
in Denver. I'm going to see him next week.
Yeah, we all sat around and told radio stories.
Oh, after after the podcast was even better than the podcast. If you recall, we were sitting against the wall. You were sitting right there. D was sitting over there underneath that TV. It was awesome. We told the stuff we could never tell on the podcast.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the guy talking dirty to his girlfriend,
Terry. That was a complete stranger, by the way, but whatever.
Right. Right. It was actually you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was you. Yeah. Now, one of the stories that Terry tells is, he said he was in Kentucky, and they were running the Cincinnati Reds baseball. So this had to have been, I don't know. 35, 40 years ago.
Well, yeah, he'd been in Dallas for
35. So this had to be 40 years ago. So he said he's breaking in the new guy, training him on how to run the broadcast because they were just an affiliate carrying the feed. And so it's like the 17th inning of the game. And Terry says, I haven't eaten all day, so I'm starving. And he said, the game just will not end. And he says, so I tell the new guy, he says, you got this. Like, you're pretty good at it. Yeah. I'm going to run down the street and get something to eat. Do you want something? I says, yeah, I'll take a cheeseburger. Terry says, do you want fries? No, I don't want fries. All right. So Terry goes out, gets in his car, and is driving to the burger place. And he said, the game comes back on. The guy gets right back into the broadcast just fine. Everything's sounding good. And he said, and then he hears the mic turn on. And he said, because you could hear, like, the fan in the background, you know.
Oh, no.
And he says, he's sitting there thinking, why is the mic on? And he says, and then over his car radio, he hears, hey, Terry, I think I will take some fries.
So great.
Yes.
That's so great.
That's one of my favorite stories.
I started off on a little 1,000 watt Christian AM station. It was a daytime station, so meaning that when the sun went down, you had to power
down.
Show's
over.
And then after an hour later, you had to go completely off, like it's dead. And then the next morning, you would power back up at sunrise. But we used to go in the middle of the night because it was such a radio station that. Like, nobody listened to it, but, like, a handful of old women would have it on next to their bed, and it would just be static, and that would help them go to sleep, and then they would just wake up to it in the morning when they woke up at the same time the sun comes up. So these radios are just kind of, next to old women's beds.
Yeah, white noise, kind of like having a fan on or something like that.
So we used to go in, knowing that, we would go in at, like, 2 in the morning and power the station out. You can hear the static in the monitors, and you dial up and hit power, and you hear it go, and it's just ready.
And then you knew once it gets quiet, you're on.
It's a clean canvas.
Mm-hmm.
We pop the mic on, get real close to it, And I would go, 1, 2, 3. I am the god of hellfire. And then
he wakes up old lady.
Yeah.
That never happened.
I don't
know why your story about the French fries made me think of this, but when I first started in radio, I was 15 at a little AM station, and this was 1996, 95. We didn't have cell phones. Nobody had a cell phone in 1995.
Mm-mm.
So
pagers.
We
have pagers, though.
Yeah, broadcast on location.
Hit me on my digit.
So they take out what we call the Marty. They take out the broadcast equipment in the truck and set it all up. And I can remember how they would know if it sounded right was they'd turn it all on and fire it up and send back the signal. So I'm listening on the in queue on the monitor on the signal, listening to the guy going, check, mic check, one, check.
That's just in the studio. You can't stop going out.
No one's hearing it on the air, but he's got monitors up out there broadcasting the radio station. And he'd go, if it sounds good, clip the audio. And you had to clip the audio on the air to make it mute for a second.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be everyone in the city is listening and hears the audio on the radio station go for no reason.
Yeah.
But that was the cue you're sending back to him. And if you didn't do it, he'd go, all right, hang on. I'll walk to the payphone. I'll tell you. That's what he'd do. And go. It was just so weird. Like little things like that. Now you just call up on the cell phone and go, how's this sound? It sound good? Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to you in a minute. And that's it.
Yeah.
We used to have to send each other Morse code signals
on the actual air.
The other thing that I did, similar to what you said, is the last day I worked on that radio station, one of my jobs was to get up on Sunday morning and put on the Mount Calvary Baptist Church Hour. Mount Calvary Baptist Church paid $300 to put their church on the air every week. And they recorded it on a cassette tape. It was a 60-minute cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
And they would literally just put it on the thing and record it and record their whole service. And the next week we had to play it back at 6 a.m. Well, in order to get to it at 6 a.m., you had to time out. You had to take it away from the satellite and back time with your own records there in the studio.
Yeah.
So we could play whatever, as long as it was the oldies music from the radio station. The very last morning that I was on the air, it was 5:55 a.m., and I played Cemetery Gates by Pantera just to see if anyone would notice. And if they did, they couldn't fire me because I had already given my 2 weeks' notice, and that was my very last day. So I played Cemetery Gates. The whole thing plays. Mount Calvary Baptist Church Hour starts. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get away with this. No one's going to say anything. And all of a sudden, I see the request line light up.
Blink, 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 blink.
I answered, and it is the preacher from the church or one of the ministers from the church.
Oh, you knew he would be listening.
He lights you up?
Yeah. Listen, I don't think it's very funny.
I like that song.
Oh, he knew.
I know that there's some sort of chicanery going on.
Chicanery.
He said some big word. I don't know. It might as well have been. There's some sort of mischievousness that I'm not really approving of, but someone will hear from me on Monday and click, and I'm like, all right, well, good thing I'm already out the door.
Wow.
But I had in my head the image of old women sitting at home waiting for Mount Calvary Baptist Church Hour to come on, listening to Pantera, Cemetery Gates.
And suddenly their radios were set ablaze.
Best thing that came out of that story was chicanery.
Chicanery.
That's a word, isn't it? That might be a word. No.
I don't think I've ever heard that before. I've heard that
word. It is a good word, though.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
And you should put shenanery.
I got to tell you, I'm liking this cream corn candle less and less sitting here.
Really?
Why?
I don't know.
Do you not like corn?
Not a big fan of corn. That's probably it.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's probably it.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I'm making candles, and so I made that. I made that canned.
So you just called us baby ugly.
Yeah, but whatever. That's a nice jacket you got. Really, you don't like it? Smell. I made a pipe one for Bubba. Let him smell your pipe.
Oh yeah, but it's burning right now. It won't.
You can't hold the fire up to your nose.
Yeah. There, I'll blow it out. Give it a minute to dissipate.
What did you call this one?
That one, it smells like
rich old man.
Old rich white man, and we named it Jerry House.
Yes.
Whom we talked about earlier, and he's awesome. And it does kind of, whenever you smell it, you think, that's Jerry.
Yeah. That's the way I think Jerry smells. Actually, he didn't smell anything like that. He smelled like Dracar.
How do you know what he smells like?
Dracar.
That's next to him in the urinal for years.
Yeah, but I don't like to think that I was sniffing him at the time.
Oh, he put a lot on.
You want to hear the worst thing I ever did? And I know you know about this. Can I tell the Raymond story? The blind guy? People are going to hate me for this.
Do you want to tell the Raymond
understand,
story?
I have atoned for this, and I've come clean. Yeah, I'll tell it.
All right, go ahead.
I'll tell it. This is the worst story ever. By the way, my name is Patrick.
Yeah, all right, man.
So I was working at my first job, and we had this guy that worked with us who was blind. By the way, the fastest telephone dialer you have ever seen in your life, because he dialed with all five fingers. He put his hand on the phone. It was crazy. Very dexterous. So Raymond would come in at night, and he would run some of the overnight programming. And again, like I said, he was sight impaired. And one night I was feeling just...
Completely, totally blind?
Completely, totally blind. Okay. Like with a stick and everything.
Okay.
We had all of our music...
Like with a stick.
Yeah, we're not talking thick glasses. We're full on stick blind.
No, he had the stick and everything, man.
No, but I mean, he would bring his...
You're right. I can't imagine why you thought people would hate this.
He would bring his Braille typewriter in.
No, nah, he had a stick.
He had a stick and a dog.
It had a little knob on the end of the
maybe
stick.
Maybe I shouldn't tell the story.
You know what? I'm starting to think it's not the best idea. Yeah. You still have time to just stop now.
No, because it's in the end, you'll see why. He would come in and he would label everything with his Braille typewriter, label all the CD spines, you know, so he could read what the CD was and all that, and he would know. And we had Braille music logs done, so he knew what songs to play and all that.
Before the Braille label was on the CD, how did he know what it was?
He didn't.
Put it in and listen to it, and
he didn't, and we would go through and say, okay, this is so-and-so and whatever. And I used to do some dumb stuff. I messed with him all the time, but again, I did it out of love because he was a cool dude. There we go.
Okay, all right.
So I would, you know, it's radio. What do you do? You practical joke
each other.
You make
the blind
the
guy
time.
Label his own CDs.
All right, which one is this? Okay.
All right, go ahead.
All right. So I would walk in one night, and I'm like, I'm going to totally mess with Raymond. So he was, you know, we played CDs at the time, and song would be playing, and I would just very quietly walk into the room, and I would reach over, and I'd hit stop. And he would sit up and scramble over and hit start again. Then I'd wait a couple minutes, reach over and hit stop.
He doesn't know you're in the room.
He doesn't know I'm in the room.
Okay.
It would pop out. JR's looking at me like, you are the worst person ever.
I would be going,
yeah.
You know, man. You know how it is when you're trying to punk Patrick on something. So I'm sitting there and I'm doing that. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm going to do the next thing. I'm going to go and eject pull the CD out before he could get back up because he would sit on the other side of the room. Over there
and it would
start,
take him a while to get over there. Had to grab his stick.
He had to grab his stick and his dog.
Yeah, it would. Actually, it would take him a second.
The room.
So
yeah, he was totally blind. He had a Boy Scout and everything.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm like just giggling on the inside, going, "Oh man, when he finds out, I'm dead." All of a sudden, he goes, "Sean, are you done?"
Oh wow!
And I went, "Hey, Raymond." So I'm like, "Hey, dude, what's going on?"
And that's when he found out Raymond wasn't blind.
No, you ready? He smelled me.
He beat me with that stick.
He smelled me. He's like, "Yeah, I've known you've been here for about 45 minutes, stopping the CDs." He said, "I smell your cologne." He's like, "You're the only person I know that wears that cologne."
I'm wow.
Like, oh, dude.
Was that green polo?
So I was like, I was just messing with you, you know. He's like, "Yeah, I know." He goes, "People do it to me all the time." He's like, don't think you're the first.
Way to go.
He said, "Whenever I go for change, when I go to the store and I'm spending money," he's like, "people take 20s and, you know, say they're ones." And he's like, "Yeah." So it really educated me that day and taught me to never ever thought that people would do that. Yeah.
I mean, yours was just stupid and
I know.
Silly.
And again, Raymond, as I've said 8,000 times, wherever you may be, I'm sorry. And I grew up a little bit that day.
No, you didn't.
I did grow up a little bit.
You grew up a tiny bit.
I don't ever mess with anybody who's blind. I will never do that again.
Way to bring it down, Sean.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, yeah, but no, people would do that. He would go to spend money, and think about it. He would pull out his wallet, and he'd go, how much is it? And they'd be like, $275, and he'll pull out 20, a 5, a 10, and they'll go, that's it, perfect. I'll give you, here's your 25 cents back. And
how would
take
you know?
50 I guess bucks of his.
For blind, if someone gives you a 10, it's supposed to be a 20, how would you know that?
They say you can feel the difference.
Oh, Lord, I
really?
Can imagine.
I've heard that, yeah. I can't. I don't know, but.
Well, again, going back there's to him dialing
same,
the phone.
It's the same quality of paper, though.
His other senses were so much more attuned than ours ever could be.
Obviously, he could smell you and know you were in the room.
That was the worst day ever, by the way. That was the worst. You know, as bad as you think I feel right now, that is the I've never felt any worse ever than that day.
You're getting caught. I was telling my kids yesterday, in fact, putting some Christmas gifts under the tree and stuff, and I said, I ever tell you guys the time that my brother and I undid our Christmas presents. We unwrapped them and looked at them and then rewrapped them.
Didn't you guys cut the scotch tape or something?
Oh, my brother was a moron. And so he I don't know. I think it looks, to me, it looked great. It looked like he did it just like my mom. Now, my mom was very, very proper. A proper Southern woman. Her handwriting was this perfect cursive writing.
Yeah.
You know, everything was, you know. So when she wrapped something, it looked like it came from Martha Stewart. It was very well done. All the edges straight, you know, the tape, the same length, all this stuff. And so when he undid the tape and put it back, I'm sure it looked like a gorilla did it. And so my mom and dad go, hey, guys, come on in here. We wanted to talk to you. Okay. Now, I know everything I'm getting. We've already seen every
You're
gift.
So excited.
Yeah, we've already rewrapped it. Pfft, we're on top of it. I walk in. They said, we know that you've been looking at your gifts. We know that you unwrapped your gifts and then tried to rewrap
them. Now, is this your dad saying this?
Yes.
Can you give it to us in a Larry?
Dirk. Your mother and I know that you've been looking at your gifts. So we've decided
we're going... This is exactly how D's dad talks, by the way.
Yeah, I can't even get that deep.
We've decided we're going to give all of your gifts to the kids in China.
Back then, that was when the kids in China needed everything.
Yeah, kids in China went hungry. They didn't have gifts.
Christmas, right. All that.
Now they make the iPods.
And so... And so I'm like, my brother's bawling. And I was like, all right. Okay. That's fair.
We deserve it.
We deserve it. He can't tape. we'll take what we get.
I told you that tape was wrong.
So, yeah, I have, like yesterday, Gunner wrapped his own gift. He didn't know it. I said, hey, this is for Zach. He goes, oh, I said, no.
So, did they give the gifts away?
No, of course they didn't. No, we had them. We got them.
For a couple of days there, a
couple
you really
of days, man,
that.
It's kind of touchy.
Brat.
Little touchy, little touchy.
It was touch and go for a minute,
but yeah, it was good. But yeah, I had Gunner said, Gunner, this is Zach's gift. Can you wrap it? Oh yeah. So again, it looks like a gorilla did it, and he comes back, and I go, by the way, that was your gift. He was like, what? I just wrapped my own gift. He's like, yeah, because I'm not going to wrap it. When it comes
did he know what it was?
No.
Oh, cool.
It was in a box.
Oh, okay. I'm imagining, like, he knows exactly what it is.
No. It was in a box. It's going to buy. Sometimes, if you're ordering stuff on Amazon, there's an extra $3, and they'll wrap it for you. I do all. That's what I do. So it comes in the box. I open it up and just dump it out underneath the tree because it's already done. And they'll tell you, you can put the to and from card.
They'll wrap, so they wrap it for you?
Yeah. And wow. And there's a little thing, you know, it says like to and who it's from. Mm-hmm. It's already typed out. To, you know,
speaking of wrapping paper, did you guys hear the story earlier this week about the Hanukkah gift paper and the design throughout the entire design, every like 3 inches are swastikas.
Yeah, and what? I saw that.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. And are there
it's
people
like,
on Facebook?
Bill, you had one job. One job.
One.
One thing. Just wait, you were asked you to do one thing.
I saw it on Facebook, and there was a lot of people going, I don't see it. And I'm like, how can you not see it? It's very obvious.
Did you say Nazi?
It was at Hallmark.
Did you just say Nazi?
You said not see it. How can you not see it?
How'd you not see?
Yeah. Nazi?
Oh, yeah, it's totally visible.
N-A-Z-I. Yeah. I'm a wordsmith, gentlemen. I've been doing this a long time.
Wow.
No, I was lucky, I guess.
You know, okay, I'm saying I see it. However, do you think it was intentional, or do you think it was just a design?
It doesn't. I don't really think it matters.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, when you're dealing with swastikas on Hanukkah paper,
that should never be an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops. Our bad. No. No. You don't get it.
All right. This has to be intentional. Now, the more I look at it,
of course
it has to be intentional. And they went, "How do we put this on there as a little ha ha without them ever noticing?"
Yeah, well.
Well, they should have been more careful when they hired the guy to design that. When he walked in with, you know, his shaved, bald, white head.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
And I hate Jews tattooed on his fingers, on his knuckles. I can't believe they hired that guy.
Well, it's just, that's awful.
That is terrible, man.
Yeah, I saw this week and I was like, man, that is...
You know, and it's interesting because, you know, we have an exchange daughter at our house. She's from Germany. And that whole Nazi thing is the biggest black eye on their country. It's like slavery is for America.
But it's more recent.
But it's much more recent. And that's their thing. It's like, you know, they do anything and people are like, oh, Nazi, ha ha. And they do, she'll walk in the
room.
It's
like slavery, except they killed 6 million people. But other than it's like that.
But it's the same kind of black eye on their country.
Right. It's pretty on par because we still feel that. As in the South, in the United States, you still get a lot of that. There's still a lot of guilt and a lot of leftover stuff. And no one was alive and no one is alive now, really. Most people never knew anyone who was alive when it happened. This is their grandparents that did
this.
So it's like
her grandfather actually was in the Nazi army. And she said, look, they gave him a choice. They said, you're either going to be in the army or you're going to either work in slave camps or die. Good luck. Choose right now. Yeah. Well, obviously, what are you going to have to do? You know, they conscript you into the army.
Yeah.
That whole thing was a mess.
I saw Fury. I took Gunner to go see Fury.
Amazing.
Have you seen it? Have you seen it,
Jay? No.
Oh, the Brad Pitt movie about the tank and...
I've seen the previews for it. I haven't seen it.
It's the first time I've seen a movie in a long time that I actually liked... what's his name? The guy with the fingers that are missing.
Who?
Shia LaBeouf.
He's missing fingers?
Yeah, on his left hand.
All of them?
I don't know how many. See if I can Google a picture.
It's like Mark Chestnut? Or just like, are they all gone? What?
Is that a thing? Does everyone know Mark Chestnut's got missing fingers?
He doesn't have missing fingers. They're just small.
They're like half of them. Half of all of them.
Yeah.
No,
but is that
like,
did he get his fingers chopped off? Or was that like a...
In 2009.
I don't think it was. I think it was some sort of like a lawnmower accident.
I don't know. Here it is. Really, here's the same thing.
I've seen his hands up close. They're not cut off. They're his full hand. They're just tiny.
Okay. Shia still does have his fingers.
One hand has shorter fingers than the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're littler.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I shook his hand and it was so weird, but right. I didn't know if it
That's
was
That's how
a
you
thing.
Find out. It's when you shake his hand for the first time.
So it's his right hand?
Yes.
Yeah. You go to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And it's like this. It's like there's half his fingers are missing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I was looking
at the other hand.
He's a really good guitar player.
Right.
And he's fighting that battle.
But it's his pick hand.
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Huh.
No idea.
Didn't realize that. I always, guys who are missing fingers, like Bubba's dad's missing part of it.
My dad's missing like 3 fingers on one of his hands.
From what?
He was in shop class in high school. And
get you every time.
Just, yeah. They hit a knot. They were trying to do something on one of the saws. They hit a knot and the saw jumped and whoop, there goes a couple fingers.
I mean,
And back
you
then,
realize
when,
he's
when it was
that guy, like that's.
And
the...
back then, he wrapped it up and finished the job.
That's right.
You know they did. You know that's they right. did.
I took what off is... one of my socks.
I had. Sorry.
I wrapped it with my sock. And we finished that.
And he got
that...
detention for getting blood all
that's
over the
right.
place.
Yeah, I meant to go ahead and have this stained, but instead, I painted it black so you can't see the blood on it. Sorry.
Oh, that's funny.
That's why the bookshelf in the principal's office is half red.
Yeah, that's a whole other world.
Blood doesn't come out of wood.
Do they do?
Did you know that?
No,
blood does not come out
of
wood.
I want you to remember, folks, what you learned here this week is blood doesn't come out of wood.
No, if you've ever
Nazi symbols on Hanukkah paper is not an accident.
We have toured a bunch as a family. We've toured a lot of antebellum homes and things like that. And during the Civil War, a lot of these homes were used as field hospitals.
Yeah.
And whenever they would do that, the blood would drain off the table and drip onto the floor. And most of these old antebellum homes have blood-soaked floors, and that wood will not allow that right. stain of blood to come out.
And not to get morbid, I think we're way past that
really?
At this point. But in crime scenes, they will if somebody dies in a home, you know, where there's blood involved, they will pull up the carpet, and then they have to cut the wood out of the floor for that exact reason. Yeah, it doesn't come out.
Really?
Yeah.
Like in The Walking Dead, whenever the priest is trying to, or the preacher, whoever he was
I never watched that show.
You guys don't watch The Walking Dead?
I don't watch The Walking Dead.
Well, when he's scrubbing the floor and he's just freaking out and he's scratching it with his fingernails trying to get it up and it's just not coming up. Oh, it's crazy. And he's just manic about it.
Well, I'm glad. This seems like a perfect place to transition into our happy Christmas music. Finale here on the podcast.
Well, that's coming in a minute. Buddy Green, you know the song Mary, Did You Know?
Yes.
Buddy Green is a friend of ours, and he actually wrote that song. And we do a thing on our show called the Songwriter Spotlight, where we bring songwriters in about once a week, maybe once every other week, and they just tell the stories behind their songs, and then they, you know, perform it. And it's interesting always to hear the songwriter sing their song as opposed to like Kenny Chesney or somebody else.
He was so good, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. It was a shock because I have never heard Buddy, I've never heard him sing before because he's a world-renowned harmonica player.
How old is this guy?
What's Buddy about?
Because that song's old.
No,
right?
No, it's only 20 years old. That's what people don't realize. It's the
really?
First, the most famous version, the Kenny and Winona version, is 93. So.
And by the time they had done it, it had already been redone.
Three times.
Yeah,
three times by other people. So
who was the first to record it?
Michael English, Christian artist,
huh.
on his first album.
Yep.
And it was written for that album. It wasn't even written as a Christmas song.
And then...
it's been recorded somewhere between 75 and 100 times. He wasn't even 100% sure.
Now, does he get paid every time that happens?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, could you imagine how much money Mel Torme has for the Christmas song, the chestnuts roasting on an open fire song? Because that's recent enough to where it is not in public domain yet. So his family,
he's dead,
forever.
Right?
Okay. He's dead. Yeah, he died like in the 90s. But his family still gets a check, you know, probably monthly for a song that he did, 80 years ago.
And unlike Buddy, I'm pretty sure Mel Torme wrote that all by himself and owned
his
publishing.
He did not. He split it with another guy. There were two guys.
Either way.
How much do you think that is?
You're talking
millions and millions at that point. For that song, compounded over and over again, because that's a bigger song than Mary, Did You Know, tenfold.
Yeah.
Song's everywhere.
The chestnuts roasting on an open fire thing has been done in every format, every genre.
The Mariah Carey Christmas song is far and away the most lucrative thing she's ever done publishing-wise.
And it's going to live on for
decades. She wrote half that song. She owns half the publishing. So she gets a full 50% of everything that song makes. And it's been re-recorded dozens of times. And it's everywhere. And it comes back for a full month and a half. And it gets played constantly.
And is that enough to carry it?
Yeah,
to make a lot of money on even
you heard Buddy.
Half.
You heard Buddy. I mean, we covered in the podcast. Even for Buddy, for that one song, that's the only song, only real radio hit he's ever written.
Yeah,
it pays his house note.
Yeah, he can live off that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, name two songs by Vince Vance and the Valiants.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, there you go, and
and there you go.
Beep, 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 beep.
Crickets.
Yeah. You know. I wonder what the guy that wrote Dominic the Donkey's made off of that song.
Yeah, not as much as the
you don't
rest
think?
Of these, but you know, that's a good one, though.
It's one of
it really
favorites.
Is. Like,
it
we
is
make
good.
Fun of it, but it's great.
It is great.
It's pretty great.
It's just a good, happy
song. Would
that
be a top five or a bottom five?
I mean, but you see, if it depends bottom on, five, you kind of have to do that with
a smile.
Pick
one. You have to pick one or the other.
Top five.
You're going to go top five.
Top novelty Christmas?
See, now you're talking semantics. Oh, just top five, bottom
five. Because it can't be, then it'd have to be bottom five. Yeah. Because you can't call it one of the.
No. It's somewhere in the middle. There's no way it's either of those. No, I don't have to put it in one of those. It's in the middle.
Yeah. I think
why we got to be so rigid?
I will say there are some awful Christmas songs.
There are awful. Some awful Christmas songs.
Christmas
awful.
Shoes is the worst Christmas song.
I didn't want to be the
ever.
First
number one
to say
bottom
it,
five.
I can't that stand is the Christmas awful. Shoes.
That's not the bottom five. That is the bottom song.
That's the it's so bad.
But it's good. So it's good.
Look at it, D. D had to be the one. He just couldn't let it go.
It's
no,
not.
But it's good.
No,
it's
not. It is.
It's good it's... because I love Jesus. Yes, so do I, but it's a terrible song.
It is a terrible
how
song.
How many do you have that on your Christmas playlist that you plays at your house on Christmas Day,
yeah,
Christmas Eve?
It comes up, yeah.
Come on.
But you know what? It has a great message. It's got a great
Everybody
emotion.
Gather around the tree. We're going to listen to Christmas Shoes.
Well, I mean,
dude, that never, ever.
Yeah, that never happens.
Whatever.
Ever. It never happens.
Well, I want to say thank you to J.R. Schumann for joining us. If you're ever in Dallas, listen to his radio stations. What are they? What are you? K something.
96.3 KSCS and 99.5 The Wolf.
Okay.
95.5.
All right.
By the way.
You still have that guy doing it, Wilford Brimley? Who did it? Who used to do the voice of the wolf?
Barry Corbin.
Barry Corbin.
Yes, Wilford Brimley. he's the diabetes
or the
guy.
Wolf. Diabetes.
99.5 The Wolf. Diabetes.
You know, some radio stations will give you the diabetes. The Wolf won't.
Check your blood sugar and check it often. And listen to the Wolf while you're doing it.
I would also never like know.
To. You know, we were. Yeah. We were just talking about Dominic the Donkey. If you don't know that song, Lou Monti, it's a classic Italian Christmas song.
Yes.
Don't listen to Peppino the Christmas Mouse. It's not as good. Dominic the Donkey is better.
You're almost also, not sure if he made that up, are you?
And also,
you really don't know.
Is that really a song?
Yeah, it's really a song. He was on his thing, man. That you know, he had a run for a couple years there in the Italian novelty song. There's some great songs.
They're both Lou Monti songs.
Yes, Lou Monti had some great songs. Some of his songs are dirty.
Do you have a copy of the Christmas Mouse?
No, I don't. It's on YouTube. I'm sure you can find everything on YouTube. But he has some songs about why he likes ladies with big butts and all that way before Sir Mix-a-Lot, and it's some fun stuff.
He liked big butts before big butts were cool.
That's right.
He was there.
That's right. He's talking about how you need a big woman and, oh, it's just great old fun stuff. See, but I learned about Lou Monti because of my love for Sinatra. You know, I got into all the side artists, you know. Everybody always
didn't he do Mambo Number 5?
No, that was Lou Bega.
Lou Bega. Okay. Different guy.
y'all are just crazy. I'm still thinking about Wilford Brimley being our new voice guy. How much do you think we could get Wilford to cut a
probably
page?
Had a bargain today.
All we need is a page.
Is he alive?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, either that or those diabetes commercials are in syndication.
No, here's something
at this
fascinating
point.
About Wilford Brimley.
Oh.
He's not as old as you think.
There's something fascinating about Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
That's also something I'm pretty sure that's never been said before. Here's something fascinating about Wilford Brimley. Oh, do tell.
I would like.
Cocoon was made a little 30 years ago. Okay?
And he was old then?
No, he wasn't. That's the thing. That's the fascinating thing.
Wilford Brimley was actually 17
he was
yeah.
49. How old is he now?
He's 80 years old now.
80 years old. 31 years ago when they made Cocoon, Wilford Brimley was 49. But he looked
60.
No, he looked like he was in his 70s. He was playing a guy at a retirement home.
That's not the person you want to be.
Yeah.
But you never want to be the guy
who... That's not true, because you know what? He made a great career off of playing old men.
Yeah,
he played
you
the
look
grandpa
like an old man.
On that TV show. I can't remember the name of the TV show for years.
Our
and
House.
He was, yeah, and he
True
was in his
grit.
50s. He was like just 10
Our
years
House.
Older
you
than
that?
The dad.
No, I don't
Our
remember
House.
Our
yeah.
House.
So when Our House was on, Wilford
I remember
Brimley
the episode of Our House when they got hit by the tornado. Do you remember that?
Oh, my
that?
Gosh.
Yeah.
I remember the one where they started their own band and they were, okay,
Worst
we're going to stop now.
Show ever.
But you remember it.
I do remember
just
it.
Just like Christmas Shoes.
That's, oh, my God.
It's got an impact.
It's something.
We got to roll into the interview.
Songwriter Spotlight.
Yes. with Buddy Green. JR, right. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Hey, I love it. This is great.
Here, and would you like to read the sponsor for us? That'd be nice.
Look at that.
The podcast sponsor.
Yeah, use your radio voice. There you go.
Could you bring it closer? I can't read that.
Here, I'll even put echo on your voice.
All right, go ahead.
At Sam's Club, you will always get incredible savings, especially during the holidays. Find the perfect gift for everyone on your list at Sam's Club.
That's really good.
Good job. Thank you.
All right, JR. We'll see you later.
Hey, we are doing our songwriter spotlight, and today it's a guy who, you may not know the name, but boy, you sure do know at least one of the songs.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year.
Probably one of the bigger songs for Christmas of the last, 25 years?
Yeah, about that long now, yeah.
Yeah. Buddy Green is joining us. Buddy wrote Mary, Did You Know?
What?
That was done.
Well, I helped. There was another writer. Co-wrote it.
But you know what? That's almost with every single songwriter. Pretty much is with every songwriter that comes in. They co-write with somebody.
Yeah, it seems like most of them are co-writes these days, yeah.
How did that song come about?
I was in prayer. No, I was
fasting for 3 days.
Yeah, that's right. No, I was on tour with the Gaither Vocal Band, big group in gospel music, and Mark Lowry was part of that group at the time.
So comedian? This,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but also singing with that group, and so he and I were just kind of getting to know each other. It had only been a year or two since he'd been on the tour, and I was a regular part of the Gaither tour at that time. So this was about 90, 91, something like that. And one night he was scribbling on a legal pad, and he just ripped off this piece of paper and threw it at me and said, it had lyrics at the bottom, and at the top was a note to me that said, "Dear buddy, below are some incredible words I wrote many years ago. Please come up with some God-inspired music and make for us a very profitable hit."
so he was just kind of kidding.
Yeah, totally. And so I just laughed at the note and said, "Yeah, I'll look at this later," you know, and shoved it in my bag and went home because I figured it was some novelty tune. I mean, right. Mark is a comedian, and so I really didn't look at it for like a week or so. And one night,
and it was sitting in your bag that whole time. And
yeah, just actually, I came home and I dumped everything on my desk. And
what are the chances that you could have accidentally thrown them away?
Oh, the chances are high.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I came in one evening and I'd been playing all day, and I'd been playing guitar, playing all these old folk songs that were minor. You know, that were like, "Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I say, Shady Grove, my little love, I'm bound to go away." So it was that sort of thing was already sort of in my head, that sort of minor mood. And when I saw those words to Mary, Did You Know, I mean, I was really taken aback that, I joke sometimes and tell people, my first thought was that these are stolen, you know, that Mark could not have.
Because they're so pretty and.
Yeah, they're just, you know, there's just some really great lines in there and profound meanings, you know, and it's just all about, you know, the incarnation and, I mean, just huge, big gospel statements being made and that thing. So, but I looked at it and I immediately got an idea. And I think it was because I'd been playing all day, you know, the juices were flowing. And so, you know, if you get a little, and it was that first part of that melody, da 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 da. So I thought, well, that's kind of neat. I'll just chase that. And that's literally what I did for like the next 30 minutes, just kind of chased the melody, and after a while it sort of started taking form, and I called Mark up and said, "Hey, I'm starting to like this, and you got to tell me if you don't like it. I need to stop right now because I don't want to get too attached to this." And so I played it over the phone and he really liked it, and so in the next couple of days he was in town, and by that time I'd really tweaked it out a little bit, and we made a little demo and sent it over to Michael English, who was looking for songs for his first album.
And he was for his first album?
For his first album.
Wow.
Yeah. And he ended up putting it on there, and it was like the second single or so that they released off of that record. And then a couple of years later, Kathy Mattea recorded it.
It really blew up, I think, for country whenever Kenny
and Wynonna were like the next year.
And then it was like, what?
Yeah, then everybody was grabbing a hold of it.
Yeah, I mean, you name the genre, and they've recorded. I mean, you've even had CeeLo Green record it, which is like, how did he, you know, whenever he recorded, it was like, wait a minute, he's attached to that song.
And I was like, what? You know, a hip hop artist is doing,
he did a great job.
It was amazing. It's one of my favorite versions. Just beautifully done. And then this year, Pentatonix has a fantastic.
Oh, my wife loves it. Yeah, I listened to it the other day, and it was
stunning. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So anointed. I've never
you said anointed. That may be the first time that has ever been said in the studio. So anointed.
Hey, I'm so glad to be around when history is being made.
Well, it is. But I would love to hear your version. I've never heard you do it.
Oh, gosh.
Could you?
There's been so many great vocalists to do this song. I always usually have to apologize when I do it for an audience.
It's always awesome though whenever the songwriter gets their opportunity to do the song.
It's better. So no pressure or anything.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like right now, you want to hear it?
Yeah. Well, okay. Go ahead.
All right. Okay. Well, let's see.
Mary, didn't you know? Your baby boy will one day walk on water. Mary, didn't you know? Your baby boy will save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Didn't you know? Mary, didn't you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of you know your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? Oh, this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Who knew your goosebumps could get goosebumps?
That was awesome, dude. I'm like, how is he going to hit that note?
And then I was wondering, too.
Went falsetto. I'm like, wow.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean.
I wrote it at 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, yeah.
That was awesome, man.
Hey, by the way, December's song, Buddy Green album, you can download it, you can buy it, whatever. It's out, and Mary Did You Know is on there. And a bunch of other things as well.
Yeah, Buddy, and I actually hit that note.
That's true. Something you may not know about Buddy. Buddy is regarded as probably the best harmonica player in the world.
Oh, no, no, no.
One of. Dude, you have played Carnegie Hall, man.
To me, you are.
Well, that's because I knew people.
to get in Carnegie Hall.
Yeah. How about this? You're the best harmonica player we know.
In this room. I bet I am. Room. I bet I got it down.
He came in with a case that has 30 harmonicas in it. Like, I don't know why you need more than one.
Well, that's in case the royalties don't show up. I sell these things.
So maybe we could do a little Christmas. Do you have a harmonica Christmas show?
Yeah, let's see if we can string together some holiday favorites.
I see that you gave Patrick, it looks like some...
A little egg shaker. Egg shaker.
Uh-huh. All right.
I wish we had sleigh bells.
Oh, we have sleigh bells.
Yeah.
But you could
jangle your keys over there.
I have sleigh bells somewhere, but I don't want to have to look them up right now. So, but I do have them.
So what do you want to do? What are you going to play?
I can do this. Let me just see what happens. I'll do a little sleigh bells, and then maybe we'll go into
jingle bells. You know, would you like... I could do this here, buddy. I could go like that. Or is that
That's
too slow?
Awesome.
There you
That's
go.
That's perfect.
Okay, it's perfect. Here we go.
Everybody now.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a one-horse open sleigh.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I thought you wanted us to, like, play harmonica. You're like, all right, everybody. I don't even have a harmonica.
What do the other harmonicas do? What do they? How do they sound differently?
They're all different keys. So, you know, we could have done that. So that'd be an A, you know. So I got one in every key. And then I have some that are, that are kind of specialty instruments. Like this is my gypsy harmonica.
Gypsy. That's cool.
So, you know, there's those. And then there's...
Like you have the big chromatic.
I got a chromatic. So
what is that mean? Chromatic.
You know, it's got a more of a cool sort of jazz. That's what Stevie Wonder plays and people like that.
Wow.
So yeah, it's depending on the song, the style. All that is why you need so many. Or at least why I need so many.
Like if you were going to get bluesy, which one would you grab?
Oh, you could do it blues on any of them. But here's a good blues harmonica.
Wait, can you play the harmonica and the guitar at the same time, or you don't have?
No. A lot of people do that.
I kind of want to just pick one up and just start playing the blues and see if Buddy can play along.
Well, here, grab a guitar. Yeah, you just play. You just grab a guitar.
Yeah. Can you? Yeah, he can. Sure. You need a pick or anything?
Yeah, you got it.
Oh, gosh.
There's one right there. Big old.
This is going to be great.
It's going to be either big awful.
Now, Big D, you get to make up the Christmas Big blues D, I got words.
That, you may have to sit down. You're wearing that thing like a bow tie.
Yeah, exactly. There, goodness.
There you go. Yeah, so.
I've got the egg shaker here.
I can play blues in A. That's all
in
I can
A?
Do.
In A? All right, do it in A. I'll be with you. Here we go.
Something like this right here. I was listening to the radio. Big D and Bubba.
That was so cool.
That's awesome. That is the best.
Buddy Green, get the album. It's out. You can get it now. It's called December's Song, and it's got Mary Did You Know on there. It's got a bunch of other Christmas songs on there.
Yeah, it's on our website as well.
Yeah, it's on our site. You can get it.
BuddyGreen.com. Put an E on the end of Green. I'm from the uppity Greens.
Uppities.
Yeah. but, thanks. They can find it there or iTunes and CD Baby, any of those places.
Man, all right, it's cool. Good to see you. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you taking the time to
great
do this.
Great to be with you. This
Part
is fun.
Thank you, buddy. Songwriter Spotlight with Buddy Green.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.